all here at Mzansi, Joburg City FM. This is a city that never sleeps and a nation on its own, right? Impande Zemithi is the program and the host. I'm called Zawadi, right? Right now the time is 2 minutes after 10 o'clock Central African time. And yeah, we're just going to be with you, you know, because today we are honored and blessed to be hosting, you know, a very important guest in the house. You know, this is a person who's doing a whole lot of works. You know, he's not selfish about himself. He's giving all of himself, you know, unto humanity to make sure that he contributes towards the betterment of life for all, right? Yeah, I'm talking of Rudolph Lungile Mabetse. He's a graduate of the University of Western Cape and an attorney of the High Court of South Africa. He's a corporate and commercial attorney who started practicing law in criminal and civil litigation environment. You know, there is a lot that he's doing, but I can't, you know, be very much long, you know, about him because he's just here. He's just gonna, you know, bless us with all the information about the things that he does. Mhlonish, sikwamkelela kuMzansi Joburg City FM. Yes, I am. Sicela nje uzethule uzazise kubalandeli nabamameli boMzansi Joburg City FM.
Yes. Good morning. My name is Rudolph Lungile Mabetse. Others who know me as Doc. That's a nickname I got at university in the 80s.
All right.
Yes.
Doc as in udokotela.
As udokotela.
Yes, I.
Yes. I'm an attorney of the High Court of South Africa, and I am a practitioner in the field, and I've been such a practitioner for many years. In fact, this year, I'm counting at least 30 years practicing and more than 28 of those years as an admitted attorney.
Oh, that's a load. That's a load.
Yes. I started as a criminal lawyer. In fact, I did my articles, the training I did in the criminal practice, where I used to represent people practically every day in court who are charged with different crimes, and including street kids, those young kids people see on the streets who get victimized, arrested, and I would go and represent them in the children's court. So that's where I started.
That's a journey. We are yet to get more about that. I understand also you are also an expert in transport law and information and communication technology.
Yes, I am. With transport law, I started transport law representing the private operators in the taxi industry, as well as, in fact, even those who carry those ventures that used to be ventures with trailers going across the borders of South Africa, the association used to be my client. So I used to represent the people when they get arrested for alleged contravention of cross-border legislation. I represented a number of taxi associations and also in the bus industry. In fact, I was the first person to open a park station to other bus operators other than the conventional buses that used to use that station before.
Yeah, you know, Batikunje, your community, you know, each and every one of these plays a specific role, you know, towards the, you know, actual achievement of the functions of the community. So we are honored to have you in our house, and we really salute the work that you've been doing and the work that you are doing. So if you can share with us, what is it that drove you first to get into law as a studies?
Okay, I always wanted to be a lawyer. I come from a family that is mainly of teachers and reverends, the pastors. And I wanted to prove the fact that, in fact, my Mabetse family cannot be confined to just teachers and ministers of religion. And I also wanted to do more than just being a teacher. I thought I could be a teacher without actually going for the teacher's training. But I can't be a lawyer without going through being a lawyer. So that is what motivated me, and I wanted to contribute to the justice system, especially at the time my focus was with the black communities that were actually struggling to even have lawyers to represent them.
Oh, that is great work, you know. So in the times when you started, you know, can you tell us maybe about some of the challenges within, you know, the legal system and the environment in the country that you used to face, and how you set to contain, you know, the challenges?
You know, the interesting thing is that when I wanted to register with the university, I had family members who were already graduates, others were at university, and one of my brothers in the family said, who was at Fort Hare at the time, his name was Kaya Mabeke, who has since passed on. He said to me, if you want to do law, you better register a first degree that is not law, because white people do not allow black people to graduate law. So you have to have another degree first before you can go into law. So that was the advice. And apparently this was based on the experience that he had as of many years as a student at universities. But in my case, when I went to university, I was allowed to register directly for BProc degree. And of course, I went to a different university because he went to the University of Fort Hare. And I studied at the University of the Western Cape. And I did not really experience the challenges that he mentioned, except for one thing, that out of the many people that registered with me, especially the Africans that I recall, only one person who was part of that class that started with me when I started graduated with me. The rest fell by the wayside, decided to go for other degrees because it was not easy, especially with Latin and Africans being requirements, and also the requirement that it's not enough to know English. You need to present whatever you are responding to in the legal studies as if you're already a lawyer.
Hey, that's a lot on the plate, but I'm inspired by your self-determination, motivation, courage, and that self-inspiration within the self, right? So we're just going to get into another part of you, because so far I'm exposed to three parts of you: you as a lawyer, you as a communication and transport, you know, technologies expert, and now we are getting into you as a writer. You know, we're just going to play one track. When we come back, we'll be getting straight into what brought us together today, which is, you know, a very powerful book that I'm having here, right? This is a book to have, you know. It's called Then You Need a Lawyer by Lungile Mabeke. This is our guest sitting next to me right now. I'm just going to play you Big Zulu featuring Tony Taiman saying Aiga Ngane. When we come back, we'll be going straight into our main issue, which is this powerful book.
News. Upworkswise. I'm going to record it. Ali Kizus nige na intsimbi.
Ali Kizus.
Ay, ay, ay. Business I'm in control my mind. Badu Zulu pick I an an. Inan vunukin man an an. Ay ay ay. Ay ay ay. Business I'm in control my mind. Badu Zulu pick I an an. Inan vunukin man an an. Ay ay ay. Ay ay ay. Business I'm in control my mind. Shunkab something be sumonga men sitting kita ikun patwe shumtete meskwamen patting hintal sunkaya wambuze mangwanen gabe kritikas nge punchline fele makamen patike Hinkabi petty siya yes mansinte. Yan tu ringe so ho pegele. Bukon tum suenko siya fanante. Petty ntsimbi ngisikepe ata funu tengi McLaren. Gizale lumpaka. Rolex isha dispatch. Gizkoge limpatat. Batinkabi apu. Au hey we patat. Gizkondele pekvil yo jama tumbe no patat. Ay ay ay. I'm in Gabi Twal, my mind. I do Zulu pick, I am an. In an Vunukin, man, man, man. Ay, 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 ay. In a Samin Gabi Twal, my mind. I do Zulu pick, I am an. In an Vunukin, man, man, man. Ay, ay, ay.
Hey, what is Zulu pick, I am an. But in getting the eye, Umzansu pick, I. Because we are bringing big people into our spaces. We're bringing big people that are coming to share with you some powerful, you know, life stories and some powerful inspirational, you know, information about a whole lot of things that you can find yourself doing in life. So it's all about, you know, giving all of yourself unto humanity, giving all of yourself unto life, you know, understanding the self, understanding the power that you have, right? Mhlonish. Can we just get straight into this book? You need a lawyer. When did you start writing this book?
I started firstly to conceptualize it in 2010. And I developed the first draft of chapters then. And it took me many years to actually bring it to life. And one of the reasons why that's the case is because, you know, as a lawyer, and part of what I do is, at least roughly about 80% of my time in a month is drafting and of drafting laws. And sometimes contracts as well. So at some stage, when I thought I am writing, I had to ask myself a question: for whom am I writing this book for? Am I writing for lawyers, or do I want the book to be for the communities, especially black communities who are where there's a saying that if you want to hide something, put it in a book. So I had to respond, to talk to those issues before I actually produce what I considered was the appropriate book. And in finding a response to that question was, I need to write it as small as possible, but as informative as possible to respond to the issues that I wanted to communicate.
Good.
And that's when, it's only when I got the answer to the size of the book that I actually started to really write with the intention of finishing it. Thank you.
Maybe before we can continue with the book, tell me in terms of writers, is it something that you took off from somebody within family line? Does it run in the blood, or you are just the first one to just, you know, do a formal writing and have a book published in the family?
In fact, I'm not the first one. Interestingly, the first book I know of by Emma Becker was written by a child.
Who?
In fact, if my memory serves me well, at the time when she wrote the book, she was about 9. Just a few, maybe a year or two before I published mine, she published the book about bullying.
All right, this side is bullying. This side, you need a lawyer. Somebody bullies you there. You need a lawyer. This side, this is a family business.
Yes.
No, that's inspirational. So then you need a lawyer. Who needs a lawyer, according to this book?
Everybody. There is no person who does not need a lawyer. Whether you are in business, whether you are at home, whether you are in love, whether you encounter any practically every situation in life, at some stage, it needs a lawyer.
Because there is a whole lot of things happening, right? So if you can share with us the processes, you know, as you were writing, can you just share with us your writing processes? How do ideas come, you know, into your mind to the extent that you can have a script, a full chapter? How do ideas, do you sit and crack your head, or maybe there's some other, or you hear voices? How does it happen with you?
Okay, I think one of the triggers for the book is lived experiences. You know, when I was practicing as a criminal lawyer, for instance, there would be instances where I would be sitting in court and someone would be arrested and come in and stand there, the dock, and they will ask if he needs a lawyer. And the person would say, I don't need a lawyer because I'm not guilty. And the person does not understand that, in fact, it's not about you being guilty or not. It's also about the environment. If you don't understand the legal system, you need someone to assist you navigating that legal system. And as a result, I know that there are many people who have criminal convictions today in South Africa, not because they actually committed the crimes, but because they went into a system they did not understand and they wanted to deal with that system without understanding it. And as a result, they were actually found guilty because they didn't understand the system. So that is one of the triggers that made me to think, you know what, this is an area that every person in the country and in the world needs to be aware of. Yes.
Right. So this book, who are the target, you know, market or target, you know, beneficiaries of this book in terms of its conduct? Just looking at the age groups, you know, and classes of people. We have young people, we have, you know, children, we have youth, we have old people, we have the employed, the unemployed, you know, we have the imprisoned, they have the so-called free people. Who are the target beneficiaries of this book?
The target beneficiaries of this book is everybody that is mature, who is able to make his or her own decisions. So it starts at least with the teenagers. And it goes all the way to the elderly. Because the book deals with various aspects of life. It starts by sharing about the legal profession. You know, there are people who call me advocate. And some of these people are very learned people. Engineers, medical doctors, they call me advocate. And I've tried my best to stop them. Because I'm not an advocate, I'm an attorney. Because they have their own understanding of what an attorney and what an advocate is. If they're impressed with your work, they think that you must be an advocate, because they see what the advocates do in courts and in the public domain, and they assume that, well, if you can perform at that level, then you must be an advocate. And now I had to have a chapter in the book that basically deciphers the legal profession, dealing with the judges, the magistrates, the prosecutors, and everybody that falls within the legal profession, the environment.
That's great. So yeah, man. Let's look at the law. We'll go to the issue of the law. You know, if ever somebody just wanna engage with us in our conversation with Honorable Lungile Mabeka, he's the author of this book. You need a lawyer. You know, our number is 0781363322. If you're outside our country, South Africa, then it's gonna be +27781363322, right? I see we are having a hand a point of order.
Yeah, they are usually first and foremost a good day, good evening, good morning, and a good night to everyone around the world. As you know, that Mzansi is covering about 94 countries globally. Usually, we have a number of questions coming to the community around the world. So the first question is, what inspired you to write this book, and what message do you hope readers take away?
Yes, as I said, it's lived experiences. The challenges that people go through, and I happen to be a witness, as I made the example, for instance, of the criminal justice system. I can also make another example that, in fact, practically every African, especially in South Africa, probably has a family home that has not been transferred since the passing on of the family of the elders. Now they are in the third or fourth generation, and which is something they don't even know that it can be dealt with differently and without upfront payments, which is why they are not even dealing with it. So what inspired me are the challenges that I've seen people going through in the different aspects of their lives. And I thought there is a need to provide some guidance.
Thank you very much. That was a question from Kanu Eleke from Nigeria. I also got a question from Ozane Semakula from, Ghana, yeah. But he's originally from, what do you call this place? Initially, Semakula Deamuli from Uganda. Yeah. This question collided with you by saying, who do you envision as the primary audience for the book and why?
As I said, it is everybody. And the reason why it is everybody is because the book deals with various aspects of life. It practically touches almost every aspect of life that is lived by almost everybody.
Okay.
Yes, and the reason why that's the case is because there's nobody, in fact, there's no person in the world who does not expect at one stage to interact with life and death, as an example, or with property.
My personal question, now this one is my personal question, and the world had to know that it's my personal question. Do you think this book fills a gap in the current legal legislature? And if so, how?
I know this book fills a gap. And how does it fill a gap? Remember, most of the books that are written about law, they are written for lawyers. And this book is not written for lawyers. But lawyers can benefit, because not every lawyer has the kind of exposure in matters of law as this book covers.
So are there any future editions for this book going forward?
Yes, there are. In fact, at some stage, we had a webinar, a launch webinar for the book last year in 2024. And one of the questions that came from an ICT specialist professor who specializes in cybercrime said, why don't you have a chapter on cybercrime? And now the point is that the book doesn't have a chapter on cybercrime. And the questions that people keep raising and the ideas people come up with as part of us interacting with the book trigger the need to actually get another edition, and probably, in fact, in some of the chapters already I have feedback that they would have wanted more flesh.
Yeah. So based to your statement now, I don't know if I'm going to quote you through your own statement. Because that's what lawyers do in court. So I even said to him earlier on that it takes a thief to catch a thief. Okay?
All right.
And it also takes a pastor to see a spiritual man.
Yes.
So my question to you is, how did you structure the book to make it complex, legal concept, as well as assembly to a broader audience for them to understand everything you just said?
I identified critical areas that affect practically everybody. And then I decided that let me have a chapter that talks to those critical areas, so that when a person, if the book, you don't have to read the whole book. If, for instance, there's death in the family and you want to know how best to deal with the death and the estate, then you can actually go to the chapter that talks to that aspect.
Mr. Mabeke, finally, did you know how much is our community actually lost without lawyers and just lose everything just because of the ignoring this thing of lawyers and actually coming to the expectation that lawyers are expensive for this and that and charges in the court and appealing and stuff like that? Do you know how important is this book?
I do, because I've come across a lot of people, both the indigents, the people who don't really have a lot of money, as well as even business people for that matter, who have undermined the importance of having a lawyer. But those who have, in fact, others have learned the hard way, and they realized after losing millions that, in fact, they would have spent maybe 25,000 rand to get a legal opinion or to get guidance on certain things before they ventured into something that cost them a lot of money. So, in fact, in the book, there is a chapter that deals with how lawyers charge.
Wow.
Yes.
That's great.
That's great. Thank you from my side.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Honorable Mr. Shaba, you know, for the insights. And also thanks very much for everyone who did engage with us in our conversation, in our session with our honorable guest, you know, Mr. Rudolph Lungile Mabeke. You know, this is the point where we're just coming to wrap up our conversation right now. But before we can leave, you know, do you envision having translations, linguistical translations of this book into many languages?
Yes. In fact, there's already a request. There's a request. The book has already been bought by government for libraries in the Western Cape. And I've also got feedback to request that the book be translated at least to Xhosa, as well as to Afrikaans. So the book is a type of a book that needs to be in every bookshop, in every library, in every home, and in practically in as many languages as possible, so that it be accessible to everybody.
Thanks very much. As we come to the end of our interview right now, so where can people find this book?
Okay, the book is available online. And we have a website. It's rlungilemabeke.me is the website. And it's also those who are in the Western Cape, the book is also available at Clark's Bookshop in the city center in Cape Town. So that's how you can get it for now.
So if somebody wants a hard copy and they are far away, even across our National Geographic boundaries, maybe they are even across the oceans, but they need a hard copy of the book, is there any possibility of such a potential customer getting the book?
Yes, we use couriers to take the book anywhere in the world.
Thanks very much, sir. And if somebody maybe wanted to follow you or have further details about you and what you do, and maybe want to work with you somewhere, somehow, in terms now of your contact details, you are free to just share, you know, how people can get access into your space.
Okay. I am available on WhatsApp. My number, 082-600-1210, is also a WhatsApp number. So a person can send me a WhatsApp. I also have emails. I have an email that I use for business, and which is my main email address, which is lmabece at bulumko, which is bulumkoclac for corporate law advisors and consultants, .co.za. That's my email address. And the email address specifically linked to the book is rlungile@rlungilemabece.me. So I'm contactable on those email addresses as well as my cell phone number.
Thanks very much, Honorable Mr. Rudolph Lungile Mabece. We just came to the end of our conversation. And what is your final message to all the listeners of Mzansi Joburg City FM?
The final message for me is that every family needs to have a copy of the book. And it's written for you. It's meant to be very small so that you can read and get to the gist of what you want to understand about law. And please get yourself a copy, and you are doing yourself a favor, and you are saving yourself a lot of money in the process.
Thanks very much. For all those who just joined us, even in our TikTok account, Mzansi Joburg City FM on TikTok, we've just been live on TikTok. This is the book, if you are there, you know, with us. This is the book that you need to get. You know, it's called You Need a Lawyer by Rudolph Lungile Mabece. He's a very powerful writer, you know, and the contents of this book, you know, is going to help you in a whole lot of ways in your life challenges and life spaces. Yes.
Yes, the alternative number is 012, which is the Pretoria number, 386-1211.
Right. The alternative number. Okay, this is cell number again?
It's 082-600-1210.
10. Right. For all who really love maybe to make a follow-up, if you're struggling to get any way into his contacts, please also contact us here at Mzansi Joburg City FM. We will make sure that we take you through, you know, to Honorable Rudolph Lungile Mabece, you know, so we'll make sure that you get, you know, to get the information, or you get to get the a service or the help that you really want. In the meantime, we're just going to play you a very powerful song there by Zinqumalo featuring Pabi Kuba, you know, and Chopa. They are saying Thula Mabota as we exit this space. It's been a very powerful, you know, and a blessed moment and time being with you here at Mzansi Joburg City FM. So we wish you all the best, you know, makanye ba endleleni zakho, business lakho, and in everything that you do. We are very, you know, happy to see that there are people, giants out there, warriors out there, who are giving themselves and going all the way out to help people that can't help themselves in some matters. So we're going to be having another segment of this session in a time to yet to be announced. So, yeah, in the meantime, this is Tulama Bolt, as we exit the space, the time right now is 24 minutes before 11 o'clock Central African time. It's been a powerful and beautiful conversation and a session. You know, by name I'm called Zawadi, and the program is Impande Zemit.
Hello?
Hello?
Ish, baby, I'm still seeing you at the party.
Ish, I don't know, but I'll ask my friend who's a mole in June, then I'll see again.
Aye, I'll see you.
Okay, I'll
Okay, sharp.